Today's reading is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 and 29, which can be found on page 1170 of the Pew Bible. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen.
We heard Hazel read to us from a particular book of the Bible, Galatians, one of the epistles written by the Apostle Paul. And generally, there's no doubt that he wrote it. The controversy, if there is any controversy about Galatians, is when it was written. And there are two possibilities. One is later, after a time when many Christians gathered to discuss just what it was they believed and who it was the message of Jesus was for. But before that time, there is a real possibility that Galatians was written. And that was probably sometime round about 47 to 48 AD, just before the midpoint of the first century. But what's important about that is it tells us that Paul was being directed by God in a particular way. He was being directed to realize that when we enter into a relationship with God through his Son, whatever has divided us can be removed. Whatever division we may have struggled with within ourselves can be taken away. Whatever it is that separates us from others, whatever it is that prevents us from getting alongside others, can be changed, can be erased. And that means that Galatians is one of the earliest of Paul's writings. And if it's one of the earliest of his writings, it means that what he was saying in Galatians is actually of extreme importance to us all. And it may be that there are parallels not only through the ages, but also for today. For we stand in the presence of God. We can enter into his life. We can be at one with him. And as Paul and as Galatians reminds us, being at one is a place where there is no separation, where we are complete. This goes beyond unity. This goes beyond equality. This is something which only being at one can describe. And that's for you. And it's for me. More importantly, it's what God desires for us. More importantly, it's what God desires for others. And more importantly, it's what God desires for the world as well. To be in a place where we can not only say, but know, all one in Christ Jesus. All one in Christ Jesus. I first heard those words at Keswick. The Keswick Convention, to be precise. The year was 1984, and I was new to the Christian faith. All one in Christ Jesus. The words belonged to the Apostle Paul, but the slogan was adopted by the convention right at its outset in 1875, a time when Christians and clergy who attended were all quite distinct and different. Yet, despite that, Jesus was their focus, with a desire to know him and for him to be known. And in the midst of that was a recognition that God does something which the world cannot do. In the world, there is division. People are born in different places, and depending on those places may be dictated by them for life. There's poverty versus wealth. There's opportunity versus deprivation. There's education versus illiteracy. Then there's race. And in a world where there should be no discrimination, sadly, there still is. Then there's gender. And in a world where there should be no disparity, sadly there is. But also there is religion. Sadly, with all the division which results and has resulted. Much of that might be attributed to the name of Jesus and how people have used that name, but it cannot be attributed to the person of Jesus. For Jesus Christ is the one in whom faith can be found. And as faith is found, his presence is found. And as faith is found, his forgiveness is found. And as faith is found, his restoration is found. But most of all, as faith is found, his unity can also be found. The unity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The unity of the God who made a promise to Abraham. The unity of the God who sent his Son to us and then sent his Holy Spirit to help us, who continues with us and is present here beside us, entering a world divided in so many ways. All of which makes Paul's words and the slogan of the Keswick Convention something to be grasped all the more. That's what God would have us be. And that's what he would have us do. That's what he would have us understand. Enabling, encouraging, helping, and ultimately making us all one. All because of Jesus, and all through Jesus. That affects belief. That affects distinction. That affects response. But it affects us most. You and me. And it can affect the world in turn. It begins with our knowing that there is no more division between God and ourselves. Instead, there's a place of salvation. There's a place of revelation. There's a place of acceptance. And there's a place of healing. All of which shapes and forms a new identity, a way of seeing our life and the life that we lead from God's perspective. But that identity goes on. There may have been a moment in time when it changed, but that was a beginning, a point at which whatever identity was known began to be refocused towards Jesus, ensuring that Jesus' identity in us has increasing significance and influence, making his life increasingly ours, his will increasingly our own. and a way of relating increasingly as he would desire it to be. That has a direct bearing on the shape and form of the church. For now, there should be nothing between us. Now, our concern is for each other as much as for ourselves. We may have come from different places, had different experiences, come to faith, perhaps, in different ways at different times. Yet now, we are one. And that oneness becomes a testimony in its own right, as the kind of division evident in the world is not represented here amongst us. And so, if you're a Christian, you're co-equal with every other believer. You're co-equal with Christ. You've become a spiritual descendant of Abraham, as well as being an heir of God. All connected to the long line of God's people that have gone before. And that's all for a purpose. For these two verses in Galatians have as much meaning today as in the time written. Paul spoke of Jew and Greek, of slave and free, as well as male and female, these being the divisive issues of his day. For us, it may be different, yet whatever it might mean, the only issue should be if you are Christ. And if you are, then you're free. Free to become what he wants you to be whom you were intended to do what he has called you to do, no longer constrained. There may still be distinctives, but there is much more by way of common ground. And that common ground can enable us all to proclaim the Messiah, who he is, what he's done, what he is doing, and what knowing him means. The Messiah, not just of the Jewish people, but of the world, as the promise to Abraham extended further than could be imagined, and further still, today and tomorrow. There may be other verses of Scripture that resonate. Isaiah 55 says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire, achieving the purpose for which I sent it." John 3 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." John 32 says, "But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." And Romans 1 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." But still, Galatians rings true. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Meaning that we find our place in eternity because we are sons and daughters of God. We find our place in society because we are brothers and sisters in the family of God. And we find our place in history because we are part of God's plan. A plan of the ages, related spiritually to Abraham by our faith in Jesus. But most of all, as John Stott, one of the foremost Keswick preachers, said, Now we have an answer to the most basic of all human questions. Who am I? And now it's possible to say in response, in Christ, I am a son or daughter of God. In Christ, I am united to all the redeemed people of God, past, present, and future. In Christ, I discover my identity. In Christ, I find my direction. And in Christ, I come home. That's still something to share. Still something to believe. And still something to experience. Why? For we are all one in Christ Jesus. A truth which eliminates every unhelpful distinction, but which instead enables those who believe to be and to become distinctive. Let us pray. Lord, you are one, and you call us to be at one with you. Help us to know what that means as we experience you afresh, and to know that you remain always. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.